It's almost kind of like this fight-flight activation in a sense that there's a really strong symbolic nature about that in saying that this is mine, like this is my territory, everyone back away, because there's this kind of perceived threat in that social spectrum that, you know, someone could potentially come and take her, you know, or him, whoever it might be, right?
The hookup. Love and f***ing on Triple J.
Warning, sex and adult themes.
How do you feel about public displays of affection? They can range from a quick peck goodbye to that couple standing in front of you at a gig who will probably be pregnant before the last song, all the way to that couple that you can't stand on Facebook because they won't stop posting pictures of them pashing on a beach in Thailand. So is there a thing as too much PDA? And what might that say about your relationship? On the pod, you'll hear about the complications of expressing your affections in public when you're a queer, trans and woman of colour, and why posting too many pics of bae on Facebook might be a signal of insecurity in your relationship. Joining us is psychologist Danielle Maloney.
It's highly influenced by their upbringing. So kind of in this psychological kind of aspect, we refer to what we call attachment styles, okay, which is highly influenced by the way that they kind of experienced love, affection, nurturance, those kinds of things growing up. And that very much plays a huge role in how they then express that in adulthood, how they express that to their significant other and things like that.
And can that attachment style change how you specifically act in public versus private?
Look, I think the key here is mostly consistency. There's probably other things that influence that. Generally, with regards to attachment style, that tends to be something that's fairly consistent, whether it be in public or private. It can to some extent, but it's probably more consistent, I'd imagine. Someone who's more likely got an avoidant kind of attachment style is going to be avoidant within a public spectrum and a private spectrum.
And is that sort of avoidance just with physical affection?
Oh, no, mostly emotional as well. So emotional, psychological, physical, any kind of perceived kind of intimacy is, you know, depending again on the way that they were brought up, but can influence that in some way.
So we get this sort of attachment style from our parents. Is it just from witnessing the way they treat each other or also the way that they treat us?
A bit of both. Mostly kind of as we're first growing up, those kind of imperative first newborn years in terms of the way they meet our emotional needs. So whether or not kind of our parents were there consistently to ensure that they relieved our distress in some way. So it influences that. But also as we kind of grow older, it's also how it's modelled. So what we've kind of watched as well. But it's mostly relying on how our emotional needs were met. We then kind of modify and adapt our behaviour in an effort to try and meet our own emotional needs.
Hearing about some more hardcore forms of PDA from Tom on the text line, my ex-girlfriend a couple of years ago used to put her hands under my shirt and almost take it off. Also used to grab my penis spontaneously in public places, ooh, even restaurants. Whoa! Didn't say whether it was consensual, so that's a bit weird. But going back to the original texter's question of their partner being really embarrassed and making them feel ashamed, how do you have that conversation with someone that they might be a little bit too much when it comes to public displays of affection?
It's, you know, it's an awkward conversation to have because, you know, PDA, studies have found that PDA is certainly kind of associated with positive outcomes in relationships, you know, because there is this kind of perceived security in a sense, you know. But it is an awkward conversation to have, and what you're wanting to get at is you're wanting to kind of get away from your position and down to the interest. So what is it that this means to you? Why is it so important for you to show me this kind of affection in public, you know, and trying to communicate that to your partner? And there's also got to be a fair negotiation because often you'll find in couples, you know, there might be, you know, kind of opposite extremes. One likes a lot of PDA versus the other who doesn't, you know, and again, that's based on attachment styles and all that kind of thing. But there needs to be kind of a healthy kind of negotiation with how you go about kind of compromising that.
Mm.
Yeah.
A compromise might be hard to find for some couples if one has a really strict policy about at home amongst our friends, it's or maybe not even amongst friends, but
yeah,
at home
absolutely.
Alone, yep. it's completely fine, but yep. just absolutely nothing in public. I mean, mm-hmm. I can totally understand how that would be mm-hmm. really hurtful. Like, what might that be signalling?
Mm-hmm. Again, that's probably more an avoidant kind of attachment style. But, you know, it's funny because as you're talking about this, I'm reminded of a client that I was working with who her partner didn't like kind of PDA at all within a physical space and even kind of that virtual space because that's another, I mean, that's something in the 21st century now that we have to recognise that PDA exists within that virtual space as
well.
And
we'll be talking about that a little bit later in the show
hugely,
this evening.
Hugely, hugely, right? So she very much became insecure by that lack of kind of affection from him in that space. And we worked towards her trying to kind of regulate her own self and reassure herself because it becomes this really unhelpful reassurance-seeking behaviour as well, you know. But it's also about kind of asking him and getting him to compromise and say, hey, look, I really like it when you hold my hand or I really like it when you put your arm around me and trying to kind of reinforce and also praise. If they do it, praise, praise, praise.
Positive
praise.
Reinforcement.
Absolutely, right.
Why do you think people hate other people's PDA so much? Like when they're making out with their partner in public, it's fine, but when they see someone else doing it, it's disgusting.
Yes. Well, that is very much culturally determined and also contextually determined. I mean, if you think about it yourself, you know, if you're sitting kind of in a, you know, a medical wait room waiting to go in and see your specialist and there's a couple in the corner making out, you're probably more likely to go into that, oh, get a room kind of space. But if you're in a club, you know, it's almost kind of socially acceptable, like you said. I mean, people get quite heavy in a club. So it's very much based on culture and context. That very much determines what we're willing to tolerate and accept.
Absolutely. Does any form of jealousy potentially come into play here?
It can, especially if you feel as though you're lacking that in your relationship.
Yeah.
You know, and it also comes down to what we call these kind of social comparison theory, in a sense that we kind of inherently compare ourselves and we base what it is that we have in this context, our relationship and the security of that, based on kind of what we see in others. And there is this real perception that couples are quite secure when you see them intimate with one another, you know, and that's not always the case though.
No. I don't want to ask you about that in just a moment.
Yeah.
Also, another reason why you might be annoyed at other people's PDAs is if you're single.
Oh, hugely. Yeah, it can be a massive trigger.
And I've heard from you on the text line 0439 757 555. Nothing worse than couples at gigs. So annoying. And also, I've heard from you, one text says, being gay, my girlfriend won't even let me hold her hand in public. If we do, we have to deal with people staring or making comments or being yelled at as they drive past.
Mm-hmm.
A guy called Grant got in touch with us via our hookup Facebook page, mm-hmm. and his parents aren't keen on him with PDA.
Always
and
the parents.
Yeah, it's really weird. He says, no sitting on the lap, no kisses, nothing. It's to the point where if my girlfriend and I are seen to be hugging too much, even the side-on shoulder hug, it gets called out. My dad will usually come up to me afterwards and tell me it's gross and that I should stop pouring all over her.
My assumption is that would just be that is an old school generational thing. So it's a cultural thing that would be highly influenced by their generation, so their time, in that in some way I'd imagine they see that as maybe promiscuous in some sense, whereas, you know, in the 21st century that's relatively benign kind of PDA. So they're just kind of old school parents, I'd imagine.
Also, I asked you to get in touch with us before if you're queer and you feel uncomfortable doing public displays of affection in the fear that someone might say something or do something. And Sam from Ballarat, thanks for getting in touch with us.
No worries.
So you're gay and you think all gay couples should be holding hands in public?
Oh, 100%. So, like, I'm not in a relationship now, so I can't hold anyone's hand, but I think, like, the only way to get rid of all that discrimination in the world is just to do that. I think the more people that see it, like, it's going to really, like, help, I think.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, have you ever felt uncomfortable or unsafe doing that?
Oh, yeah, quite a bit. So, like, I grew up in a country town, So, like, even being with someone of the same sex there was quite bad.
Mm.
Right now I live in Ballarat, so, like, here it's pretty good. It's not bad. It's not amazing. Like, when you head to the city, it's just so good. Like, no one cares in the city.
Yeah.
So it's really good when, like, just to get away from, and, like, you don't know anyone in the city. So, like, even if people do care, I don't think, for me, it doesn't matter. But, yeah, the more people who hold hands, the better it's going to be.
I think that's really interesting because I think what you're talking about is this kind of increased exposure, you know, kind of makes us more tolerant. And they've certainly found that. It's funny because they've certainly found that in interracial couples. So it's something that they call the contact hypothesis. So there's this assumption that, you know, for interracial couples, when we see them showing kind of PDA, it kind of builds this kind of tolerance and acceptance towards it, you know, which is certainly something that's relatable here in a sense that, you know, the more exposure people get to this, kind of the more tolerance that will build and acceptance. I tend to agree with you.
It's a great idea, Sam. Hope you find a nice boy's hand to hold real soon.
Yep. Swing it proudly. Just swing it and skip.
Thanks for calling us, Sam.
Thanks.
So, Danielle, there's another kind of interesting dynamic of PDA that I heard a friend mention the other day. What if your partner is way more affectionate with you in public than they are at home?
This is extremely common. And this, that you know, there's a kind of anthropological interpretation to this that it's almost kind of like this fight-flight activation in a sense that there's a really strong symbolic nature about that in saying that this is mine, like this is my territory, everyone back away, because there's this kind of perceived threat in that social spectrum that, you know, someone could potentially come and take her, you know,
or him,
whoever it might be, right? Whereas once you kind of get home and out of that space, you know, that perceived threat is no longer there. And so that kind of complacency kind of sets in a sense that they don't feel the need to necessarily show it. But that's definitely a strong kind of sign of this is mine, get away everyone, this is how I'm going to kind of show it. It's that fight flight activation.
Could that potentially be a bit of a red flag?
Yeah, you know, I guess it depends on how extreme it is. You know, if it's that real kind of hostile, erratic, aggressive behavior, yes, you know, it's not particularly, you don't really want to kind of reinforce that in somebody. But it actually can have the opposite effect in that people tend to like it. They like for their partner to be quite, bear with me, there are kind of different extremes, but quite territorial over them. They like that. They like that kind of hint of perceived jealousy, you know, because it shows this kind of willingness and this kind of desire for me, you know, if you're going to fight for me. So it kind of depends on the level of it and the how extreme it is, I guess.
Yeah, absolutely. And what about if you and your partner work together? How do you sort of navigate those sort of boundaries?
Oh, God, that's awkward. Well, I guess it depends on the workspace, right? And also there's a huge kind of issue there of how it is that your, you know, your workspace tolerates that.
Mm.
But I'd imagine that there would be kind of this inherent sense of professionalism that kind of you know, inhibits that to some degree, you know, but it depends on who knows, the exposure of it, that kind of thing.
And what if your partner used to be totally fine with, you know, public displays of affection, but then has suddenly stopped? What might that be a signal of?
I've kind of touched on this before on this program. We talk about something called a limerence period at the beginning, which is everyone kind of knows colloquially as the honeymoon period, right? So the level of PDA is going to be more pronounced during that period, right? Because you're in that heightened state of arousal, right? So you're in that fight-flight activation. I want to kind of show everyone that this is mine. And across time, that kind of diffuses. We become more comfortable and complacent, you know, so it can be a product of that. And if it's something that you feel as though you're really missing, have a chat to your partner. Again, from that kind of place of positive reinforcement, you know, get to know how to work your partner a bit and kind of go, you know, bub, I really love it when you do this, blah, 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 blah. And praise, praise, praise. They're like a dog, really. It's like conditioning a doggy.
I asked you before to get in touch with me on the text line 0439 757 555 if you're queer and how you feel about PDA in public and whether you've been intimidated by it. Sam from Ballarat called us before and said he reckons all queer couples should be holding hands in public to make everyone get over it. And I've heard from you on the text line. You've said, I'm gay and my partner Scott hates when I hold his hand in public because we always get food thrown at us.
Oh my God.
And once we even got kicked out of a restaurant because we were holding hands under the table. It makes us both embarrassed that we can't show our affection in public.
That's horrible.
That's disgusting.
I mean, that's just unacceptable.
And but on the other end of the spectrum, absolutely not afraid to hold to show any affection to my partner in public. I mean, come on, she's my everything, and no one else can impede on that. To those of you that have been shunned, be proud. And that is from Mobsy. Being a part of a Lebanese community and holding hands in public with a same-sex partner and being seen is potentially life-ruining. Would never risk it. And that is from Anonymous. Also, I've heard from you. I'm in a same-sex female relationship, and I can say that while we're very comfortable displaying affection in public, getting comments from passing cars and strangers is tiresome, especially when they feel the need to make sexual comments, inviting themselves into our relationship. It's suffocating to be sexualized as often as we are, and we're sick of being asked if we want to include someone in a threesome. Oh, I can't even imagine how annoying and tiresome
that would be.
So, if anyone's thinking about doing that, asking two lesbians if they can join the relationship, just don't do it.
Just stop. Just stop.
I kind of want to talk, Danielle, about PDA in the online space, whether it's posting on Facebook or Instagram or
PDA.
Selfies with bae, whatever.
Yep. Relationship status.
Why might someone be really into posting pictures and gushing on social media about their relationship?
It's funny because it's actually, you know, studies suggest that it is actually quite a healthy habit for secure couples. But there is also kind of a level with which an audience is willing to accept. And they've found that as well, that people can get quite irritated with the amount of stuff that people post.
Well, it's interesting that you use the word audience because that seems really relevant in that everything that we do on social media is a performance.
Hugely, the highlight reel, I call it.
Yeah. And so could posting too much about your relationship be a sign of an insecurity?
Hugely. It's an overcompensation, not in all couples, of course. But again, I always say to people, That platform is the highlight reel, yeah? You're never going to post an ugly photo of yourself on social media. The same with if there's any kind of conflict in the relationship, you're never going to post that on social media. But it definitely is this kind of overcompensatory strategy that we see, that if someone is particularly insecure, what they do is they tend to kind of flood their social platform, whether it be Instagram, Facebook, whatever it might be, with posts and, you know, relationship status and things like that. And that gives them this kind of perceived sense of kind of security. You know, they'll check things like how many likes they get and things like that. And that will somehow satiate their kind of security in the relationship, even if they're actually lacking it physically.
Yeah.
So it can be like what we call an overcompensatory kind of strategy.
Yeah, right. And I've heard from you on the text line, my recent ex seemed more interested to have PDAs than affection in private. She would yell at me not to touch her while we were in private, especially in the kitchen. I found it really heartbreaking because I felt like she didn't really want me just to have someone so she could make posts on social media that made her weird, wanky self that met her weird, wanky self-validation issues. And that is from M from Wollongong. I wonder how common that is for you know, people of our generation of, you know, trying to fuel their relationship insecurities with stuff online.
Yeah, and there's probably kind of like a social norm there in a sense that, you know, coming back to that kind of singledom thing, you know, it's almost kind of this notion of, well, I'd rather kind of be perceived as being in a happy, healthy relationship, you know, even though I'm not. And so again, in that space, we present the highlight reel, you know, and she can flood and saturate it with whatever it is that she wants. But then, you know, remember I said at the beginning, it's about consistency.
Yeah.
So if it's kind of existing in that virtual space, but then lacking kind of physically, then you'd probably want to kind of have a chat with your partner about that.
Yeah, and I have had conversation with friends before where they've been talking about, and this is in situations where they do genuinely love their new partner, but also that sort of like nasty social media side of them being like, you know what, I can't wait to post the first photo of us together to show everyone else that I've been out with online before that I'm now with someone.
Yep. Absolutely. Well, think of, even just think of the relationship status, you know, that that becomes the way we secure it. Yeah, hugely. It gets brought up in clinic all the time.
Really? How?
Yeah. Well, couples will come in, or well, individuals will come in and say to me, "Oh, we're official," you know, and I say, "Oh, what gives you that impression?" You know, because we've declared it on Facebook. Absolutely. It's like the 21st century way of kind of declaring your relationship. It kind of doesn't matter if you declare it together. Once it's in that virtual space, that's it. We're a couple.
What if one of them isn't ready to be an official Facebook couple?
Yep, I have no clue. I don't know.
Wow.
I don't know.
And I mean, what if you are with someone who is really into the performative sides of posting on social media, and you really aren't, and you really don't want them to post that kissing photo of you on Facebook? How do you handle it?
I had a couple with this exact same issue. So she was very much into posting that kind of content, and he felt quite violated by it because he was a very private person. I mean, he had a very avoidant attachment style, in a sense that he didn't even like a benign photo of them together. You know, again, it comes down to kind of understanding what it is for each other and having a conversation about that. But you also do need to respect your partner's, you know, sense of privacy, in a sense that if he or she is uncomfortable with that, you know, it's not just about meeting your needs and you wanting that up there. It's about that kind of healthy compromise as well.
Yeah, absolutely. And I've heard from you on the text line, "My partner used to hate my levels of PDA. She brought it up with me eventually, and I'm glad she did. I never meant to make her feel uncomfortable. Also, she didn't want to rub it in the face of our single friends. I've come to learn that, and I don't always need that constant affection, especially since things are fine behind closed doors."
Very self-aware.
Yeah, absolutely. Do you think there are certain boundaries or, you know, ways that you should be thinking when you're around your single friends, or do you think that's kind of being too protectionist?
I think that's almost kind of unconscious for most people, that they consider that, especially with the amount of single people that are there. You know, me and my husband were out the other night with my with a friend of ours who's single, and it was kind of like a third wheel situation, so we weren't going to overdo the PDA, and that wasn't a conscious decision. It was just kind of implicit. You know, so I think it depends on the context, where you are, how many people are there, but some people certainly can overdo it, in the sense that they get very hypervigilant around single people. And I don't think that that's necessarily fair from your perspective, given that you are in a relationship and a lot of your single mates don't necessarily expect that from you anyway.
Mm.
Yeah.
One last thing I want to ask. We've heard from a couple of people who it kind of seems like their partner gets a bit of a sexual rush from being really overly affectionate with them in public. How do you navigate that?
Oh, go for it. So it's almost kind of like this implicit kind of foreplay, you know, kind of, you know, obviously depending on the lengths of it. But, you know, if you're both comfortable with it, it's both consensual, go for it. You know, it can, novelty and change in a relationship can spice things up, you know, if it's something as simple as that, you know, kudos to you, go for it.
Kayla from Altona, thanks for giving us a call. What's your experience of PDA?
Hey, I'm queer. I'm also a person of colour, and I am very pro sort of public displays of affection, especially when you're receiving sort of, you know, awful comments on the street. You know, a lot of people say you should just do it more, but I think that's coming from a really white perspective, because you're not really at risk of the racial violence.
Yeah.
And also, as a person who's cisgender, you're not at risk of transphobia at the same time. So there's that double potential to be, you know, at risk of violence.
No, absolutely. And is this an experience that you've had?
Oh, absolutely, yeah. Many of the people I date are non-binary, trans, people of colour. And not only are you, you know, it's fine to go out there as a white cis person who presents cis, you're going to get a little bit of homophobia potentially. You could also be subject to violence, but people I'm dating who are queer, women of colour or trans women, they're at risk of so many other forms of violence at the same time. So it's not worth putting your safety at risk.
Yeah, that's an absolutely really, really good point. I mean, while it's, you know, good to make a stand, you obviously don't want to put yourself in any position of danger. And you're absolutely right. Like, we all have different levels of privilege and most of us are unaware of what we do have. And if you're a, you know, a trans queer woman of colour, that's a lot of different stacks of prejudice that are against you. And so no wonder you don't have to deal with that.
I'm so sorry you have to. I think that's just horrible.
Yeah, I mean, you're already at risk of violence just living your daily life. So adding that sort of rebellious act of, you know, being publicly affectionate, you're just putting yourself at risk.
Mm.
I mean, go for it, but just consider the risk.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Thanks so much for calling us, Kayla. Really appreciate it.
No worries. Bye.
You're listening to The Hookup with Hannah Riley on Triple J. Danielle, thanks so much for joining us for another show.
So welcome. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for listening to the podcast. Is there a topic that you'd love to hear us cover? Let us know. Send an email to thehookup@abc.net.au.
Hello, Zan Rowe here. I know you love going deep, getting personal here on The Hookup, but did you know I like to play that way too? In a musical sense, of course. Every week, I invite someone great in to Take Five to play five songs they love and tell you why. And now, the Take Five is a podcast. You can hear the likes of Violent Soho, Laura Jane Grace and Joyride telling you about the music they love. Find Take Five wherever you get your podcasts and subscribe. You know you want to.